Welcome to Seven Laws Blog UK. Welcome to Seven Laws Blog UK. I'm David, and today's post is called Taking Things for Granted. I don't know how I got to hear about the flat earth issue or what got me to actually listen to that side of the debate. I had always heard of it in derisive terms, always with a sneer. A view that the people who held such a view were dullards, stupid, retarded. But something had piqued my interest about it. Maybe a suggested video on the side of a video I was actually watching on something like YouTube? Possibly. Since I'm in the path of questioning why I hold certain things to be true, I thought I'd at least give that side of things a listen. Now let me set this straight now. I haven't adopted the flat earth position. Well, even that statement, I've got a question. I haven't adopted it. Is that true? I'm going to have to think about that. Anyway, did I hear a sigh of relief? David's not gone totally crazy, right? I won't pretend I'm now acceptable to those who see my views as stupid, Luddite, and pre-scientific. But, and yes, there is a but I no longer see the globe idea as the true truth either. Wait, you're still here? Not signed off? Not zoned out? Do I go on? Oh yeah, I write this primarily for me, right? So at least if I'm talking to myself, I'll always have an audience. Damn, that sounds conceited. Actually, not fully. I mean, I talk to myself a lot of times, so writing my thoughts isn't too distant from that. But just to clarify again. If I'm a globe skeptic, does that mean I'm therefore a flat earther? I don't think so. But anyway, let's carry on. So yes, looking into the flat earth subject revealed something to me that I should have known, that I know, but I didn't fully. It showed me that I still take certain ideas for granted, accepting them as true when I've never had a good basis for it. For example, why did I accept that the Earth was a ball? Because it's what I've always been told. That was simply and only it. It was always in the books or pictures around me as I grew up. If someone challenged me on why it is a globe and not another shape or flat, I could provide no rationally compelling reason, no sufficient evidence. I had taken the words of people on faith. Added to that, I personally had never seen any curve to the place I live on. Added to that, I've never felt the alleged spin of the place I live or its alleged orbit around a sun, or its speed around some galactic center, or its universal movement. Yet I took the words of people on faith. But I had done that before, many times, and many times that faith or confidence was shown to be unfounded and false. So apart from the comfort of having a viewpoint acceptable to the majority of people around me, why did I accept this teaching about the ball earth? In the standard understanding of the so-called local planetary system, the ball has people and an atmosphere stuck to it by means of a force called gravity. Yet it spins at its equator at a speed of over 1,000 miles per hour, orbiting a gigantic fireball at a speed of 67,000 miles per hour, And that fireball is supposedly moving at a speed of 448,000 miles per hour, with planets surrounding it, orbiting it, each planet having moons, and there also being an asteroid belt in that system. And it all sticks together because of this thing called gravity. And the galaxy that the fireball is in, the galaxy that the fireball is in, is also moving, supposedly, at a speed of 1.4 million miles per hour. Now, people accustomed to looking at the numbers, or who are acquiescent to what they're told, those with an imagination to picture such a thing in the mind, as if they were watching a sci-fi movie, may shrug their shoulders and say, so what? I look at such an idea and realize one thing, a thing that I mentioned in a previous article. I know where I am and what I've experienced. I'm not a cameraman in space, in a place of perfect and absolute rest from which I can judge absolute universal motion. That would be a metaphysical position. That's another way of saying I'm not in the position of God. I'm here, stuck on the land, looking out around me. From my position, from the human position, I don't experience any of that gloriously insane picture. Since humans live on this plane of existence, no person has ever experienced such a universe either, neither can they. They can theorize such a picture, they can calculate and create based on assumptions such a picture. They can use their computers to model such a scenario, but as I've learned, science is a method that can be used to create tentative models, but it yields no dogmatic truth beyond what we experience. Oh, and added to that, the idea of the ball Earth came with some evidences that don't hold up, such as objects becoming hidden due to going over the Earth's alleged curvature. But binoculars and telescopes contradict the idea. Look, I'm not going to go through the short list of evidences given for the ball Earth. The issue is not that I'm convinced one way or another, or maybe I am convinced of something, but that I took an idea for granted and that I now have a skeptical view of all or both ideas. Dude, are you denying gravity? Depends on what you mean. Do I deny that things tend to fall downward to the ground unless enough thrust is applied? Well, that's what we experience. Do I believe, therefore, that gas can join together to become a fragment of rock, which then attracts other rocks like a non-metal attracting magnet, and then becomes a what, David? I've lost myself. No, I have lost myself. I hate it when I do that. Anyway, so we do experience the fact that things tend to fall downwards. But do I believe that, therefore, gas can join together to become a fragment of a rock, which then attracts other rocks like a non-metal attracting magnet, that then becomes a big rock that both manages to become an almost perfect sphere, and then ignites its insides to make a molten core, and then manages to get another massive rock to orbit it rather than just be attracted to it to become a bigger clump of rock? No, I've never experienced that or anything like it. It doesn't sound credible or plausible to me. Someone's going to say, but dude, are you denying science? See, now I'm glad you asked that question, because this helps reveal to me the authority, or the God, that many bow down to today. When a person asks this question, here's what they both imply yet can never truly mean. Are you denying the obvious and absolute truth? There's something, that's the elevation that's been given to science, in that it is now the measure of the truth. But what can science never give? The truth. It is a method, one method or a group of methods that a person can use to investigate the world, but it is limited by the user, a user of imperfect knowledge and perception and limited perception, affected by biases and internal and external pressures. But such a thing cannot hope to get truth from it. You can't get truth from it, only plausible ideas that are subject to change or abandonment. But also note, a person can also mean by that question this: how can you deny what the consensus of the authorities say? It's an appeal to authority and consensus, as if that too is a measure of a truth to be invested in. In order for such an appeal to be valid, the authority, understood as experts, not as controllers or owners, in order for such an appeal to be valid, the authorities must be valid. The expertise must be based on truth. In order for consensus to be worth anything, the individuals and establishment must be bereft of bias or agenda. The authority slash expertise fails immediately in this context. The subjects I'm pondering are not within human experience, but are outside of human experience, involving something metaphysical, that is, absolute motion. And the scientific endeavour would have to have a sufficient record of morality, truth and correctness. But it's a house built on inferior foundations. Every so often there's a paradigm shift, and it's not based on correctness or truth, but popularity and politics. Its method necessitates falsifiability and probability, and its history is strewn with the many carcasses of theories once held dear but were falsified. The science industry, normally a tool of the powers that be to control the people, much like the priesthood of old, if not its direct descendant, the science community is set apart from the rest of us humans as objective, selflessly searching for truth, when in fact it behaves like any other religion. It gives a veneer of agreement and consensus, giving simpler statements of belief to outsiders and laypeople. But look deeper and there'll be the same discord and dissent, disagreement and debate. Its edicts are meant to be taken as gospel, with those questioning or rejecting those dictates being discarded, excommunicated, ridiculed and reviled like any religious heretic. Its adherents fancy themselves to be skeptics and claim testers or witch hunters, using objective scrutiny when they are simply acolytes. They claim to be testers. When they are simply acolytes and followers of the word of the scientific prophets. But on the basis of the expertise that is still earthbound humans, the vast majority of which hasn't left this plane, this earth, small minds of imperfect knowledge and limited perspective. For some people, for many, the pomp attributed to the scientific priesthood is enough, even for declarations with no basis in everyday life or experience. Quantum fluctuations, anyone? The distortions in space-time? A curved water layer conforming to a curved surface? A notion that makes no experiential sense? For them, the experts must know more than us, and we must trust the experts. But experts in what? Experts in absolute motion? Experts in mathematical models? Experts in practicals, ignorant of the underlying philosophy? Experts who are still earthbound humans like you and me? Experts in a field with as much of a history of failure as that of success, if not more failure? Experts that demand we assign the appellations of absolute truth and fact to the products of their endeavours, which necessarily must be deemed tentative. Isn't that last point a sign of deep ignorance within those experts? And here I am. How much have I swallowed and absorbed in my youth throughout my life without a second thought? How many times have I been guarded about and against the obvious religions in the world and ignored the secular one, and hence been unguarded? The essence of this post is that, again, I'm made aware of things I've just assumed to be true simply because I was programmed so by the repetition of ideas from my youth. Ideas for which I sought no basis, yet never challenged. Once again, what I saw as fact to be assumed is now seen as a claim needing sufficient reason to be adopted afresh, if it is, or else it's going to get flushed. I think I'll end this one with no disclaimer. Just leave it there. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much for your time, and have yourself a great day.